Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're exploring a book that's been making waves in the history teaching world, A History Teaching Toolbox by Russell Tarr.
It's a pretty fantastic resource.
Oh, absolutely. From what I've seen, it's packed with all sorts of creative and engaging activities for history teachers.
Yeah, it really is. And that's what we're going to focus on in this deep dive.
Exactly. How can history teachers like you actually use this toolbox in their classrooms? So before we get into the specifics, can you give us a quick overview of how the book is structured?
Sure. So the book is organized around different stages of the learning process, you know, like introducing new concepts, reinforcing understanding, and then assessing learning.
I see.
So no matter what your teaching goals are, there's a section for you. You don't have to like wade through the whole book to find what you need.
That's so helpful. I mean, as teachers, we're all so busy. Having that clear structure makes it much easier to actually use the book.
Yeah. And speaking of making things easier, the author really emphasizes practicality. He knows, I think, more than anyone what it's like to be a busy teacher. So he really encourages you to try things out, see what works in your classroom, and just ditch what doesn't.
I love that. It takes the pressure off. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect the first time.
Exactly. Just experiment. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
And he even suggests aiming to try at least one new idea from each chapter throughout the year.
Okay, so one new thing each chapter throughout the year that's manageable.
Totally. It's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
And to make things even easier, he provides all these ready-to-use templates on his blog, Tarr's Toolbox, so you don't even have to start from scratch.
Downloadable templates. Every teacher's best friend. Okay, so we've got a sense of how the book is organized and the author's practical approach.
Right.
Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty. What are some of the standout activities in this toolbox that history teachers can really use?
Okay, so one that really jumps out, it's called running dictation. And it's fantastic for teaching chronological understanding.
Running dictation, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it gets the kids moving.
Okay.
So basically, they work in teams. One student runs to read a snippet of text, races back to their team to dictate it, and then passes the baton to the next student.
So it's kind of like a relay race.
Exactly. It's controlled chaos in the best way possible.
I love it. So they're getting exercise, they're having fun, but they're also learning about chronology.
And teamwork.
Right.
And how to process information quickly. I mean, those are skills that they need in any field.
Absolutely. Okay, so running dictation is definitely going on my list to try.
That's a good one.
Okay, what else? What other activities really stand out to you?
All right. If you want to get your students thinking like historians, there's one called What Should They Do Next?
Okay. What should they do next? I like that.
Yeah. So basically, they're analyzing historical dilemmas. They're putting themselves in the shoes of historical figures.
Oh, I see. Like decision making.
Exactly. And they have to propose solutions based on the information they have.
So they're not just passively learning about history.
No.
They're actively engaging with it.
Yeah, they're thinking critically about those what-if moments in history and how different choices could have led to different outcomes.
That's fantastic, because I think that's something that students often struggle with, right? Understanding that history wasn't inevitable. There were choices made.
Totally.
And things could have gone in very different directions.
And that's a really hard concept for them to grasp.
Yeah. Okay, so what should they do next? That's another one that I'm definitely going to try.
It's great for debates, too.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for ways to spice up our debates. So we've got activities for chronological understanding, for decision making. What about seeing those big picture connections in history?
Oh, timeline categorization and chunking is a game changer for that.
Okay, so how does that work? Break it down for me.
So students take a timeline, right? And instead of just memorizing dates.
Right. Which can be so boring.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah.
They're categorizing those events using different criteria.
So like social, economic, political.
Exactly. Or military, cultural.
Okay. So they're starting to see those patterns.
Yes. They're seeing the patterns. They're seeing the turning points. They're understanding how different historical forces were at play.
Right. So it's not just a list of dates anymore.
Right. It's an interconnected story.
I like that. Okay, now we're talking. So we've got some really engaging activities here, but I'm curious about resources. What does Tarr suggest teachers use to bring these activities to life?
Well, he's all about using what you already have in creative ways.
Okay, I like that. Practical.
Yeah, like he has this great section on using maps as interactive tools.
Ooh, maps. Everyone loves a good map.
Right. Like imagine plotting historical events on Google Earth.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. So it brings in the geography and makes history feel more real, more immediate.
Yeah, because sometimes those historical events can feel so far removed,
right? Oh, absolutely. Especially for students.
Especially for students, yeah.
This makes it real. Okay, so maps, check. What else?
This one might surprise you. He suggests using sweets to measure change over time.
Sweets. Okay, now I have to hear more about this.
Welcome back. We were talking about using sweets to measure change over time.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this one. How does that actually work?
So each sweet represents something like stability or power.
Okay.
And as you go through the different events, the students physically redistribute those sweets.
Oh, I see.
So, for example, if you're teaching about the causes of the Spanish Civil War, right, each sweet could represent, like, a degree of stability in the country.
Okay.
And as you discuss those events that lead up to the war, students would remove sweets to show how that stability is diminishing.
Ah, that's such a cool visual.
It's so much more impactful than just, like, talking about it, you know?
Absolutely. And it gets them thinking about those processes of change over time.
Exactly.
So, okay, sweets for change over time. Write that down.
It's a good one. What about using hand gestures to illustrate changing relationships?
Hand gestures. Okay, this is getting interesting.
I know, right? So you could have students use hand gestures to represent, like, the relationship between two countries.
Okay, so, like, if they're allies, their hands are close together, and if there's conflict, they move them apart.
Exactly. It might seem silly, but that physical movement actually helps with memory and understanding.
It's like embodied learning, right? It's not just sitting there and listening passively. They're actually doing something with the information.
Exactly. So we've talked about some engaging activities and creative resources. What about activities that really push students to think critically, to dig a little deeper?
I'm all for that. What does Tar have up his sleeve for that?
He has this activity called the Iceman Mystery. It's a great example of inquiry-based learning.
Okay, now, for those who might not be familiar with inquiry-based learning, what does that involve?
So inquiry-based learning is all about students asking questions, investigating, and coming to their own conclusions. Like, they're little detectives, right?
I love that. Okay, so how does this Iceman Mystery work?
So they start with a historical mystery, like the discovery of Ötzi the Iceman. And they formulate questions about who he was, how he lived, how he died. And then, just like real archaeologists, they examine the evidence and refine their understanding as they go.
It's like a historical puzzle.
Exactly. It really gets their brains working, you know?
It makes it so much more engaging than just, here are the facts about the Iceman.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm definitely going to check that one out. Now, as a history teacher, one of my biggest challenges is helping students write strong essays. You know, moving beyond just reciting facts to actually analyzing and making connections.
That's a common struggle.
Yeah. So does Tar offer any strategies for that?
He does. He has this activity called hexagon learning, and it's brilliant for essay planning.
Hexagon learning. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued.
So students use hexagons to categorize and connect different factors related to a historical event or figure. Think of it like a visual essay plan.
Oh, I see. So instead of staring at a blank page, they have this visual map to guide their thinking.
Exactly. It helps them see the connections between different historical factors and how they all contribute to the bigger picture.
I love that. It's such a great way to help them organize their thoughts and move beyond just recounting events. If you were teaching about the rise of Stalin, students could use hexagons to map out all the different factors that led to his ascent to power.
Exactly. It gets them thinking about those complex relationships, you know?
Okay, I am sold on this one. Hexagon learning is going straight into my lesson plan arsenal. So we've talked about teacher-led activities, but what about putting the students in the driver's seat? You know, making them more active participants in their learning. Does Tar address student-led learning in the book?
Oh, absolutely. He has a whole section devoted to it.
I love that. So what strategies does he suggest for making students the leaders of their own learning?
One of my favorites is the students as teachers approach.
Okay, tell me more about that. It sounds like a dream come true for any teacher who's ever felt like they're talking to a brick wall.
Right. It's about shifting that dynamic. So instead of traditional presentations, students create mini lessons to teach their peers.
So they become the experts. That's brilliant.
They do. And it's amazing how much more engaged they are when they're responsible for teaching the material.
I can only imagine. It's like they're taking ownership of their learning and sharing their passion with their classmates. Plus, it frees up the teacher to act as a facilitator, guiding the learning process rather than just lecturing.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. I'm definitely going to try that one out. Now, I know a lot of history teachers love using debates in the classroom. But sometimes those debates can get a little heated and students can get stuck in their own perspectives.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Does Tarr offer any suggestions for fostering more nuanced and productive discussions?
He does. He suggests using a technique called arbitration.
Okay, I think we touched on this briefly before, but I'd love to hear more about how it works.
So instead of just arguing for or against a historical motion, students work in trios. One represents the perspective of one side, another represents the opposing view, and the third acts as an adjudicator.
So it's like a mini courtroom, with each side presenting their case.
Exactly. But here's the key difference. Instead of trying to win the argument, their goal is to work together to create a synthesis statement.
Now, some folks might not be familiar with the term synthesis statement. What does that mean exactly?
A synthesis statement is basically a conclusion that combines the best points from both sides of the argument. It shows a more complete and nuanced understanding of the issue.
So it's not about declaring a winner or loser. It's about coming to a more balanced and informed conclusion.
You got it. It's a great way to promote critical thinking, encourage perspective taking, and teach them how to synthesize information from multiple sources.
Okay, I am sold. That is going straight into my teaching toolbox. Arbitration debates, here we come. Now, we've talked a lot about specific activities, but what about just creating a more collaborative learning environment in general? Does Tarr touch on that in the book?
Oh, absolutely. He has a whole section devoted to collaborative learning strategies.
I love that. Collaboration is so essential, not just for history class, but for life.
Yeah.
What are some of his go-to collaborative learning techniques?
One that's super effective is jigsaw groups.
Oh, I've used jigsaw groups before, but I'm always up for a refresher.
So you divide students into expert groups, and each group researches a different aspect of the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Then you regroup the students so that each new group has a representative from each of the original expert groups.
Yeah.
So they have to teach each other.
Ah, so they become the experts on their assigned piece of the puzzle and then come together to create a more complete picture. I love that. It encourages students to take ownership of their learning, teach their peers, and see how different pieces of information fit together. It's like putting together a historical jigsaw puzzle, literally.
And it really promotes both individual accountability and collaborative learning, which is a win-win.
Absolutely. Welcome back to our deep dive into a history teaching toolbox. You know, we've been talking about all these amazing activities and strategies, but one thing that I think is so important for history teachers is using primary sources.
Oh, absolutely. Primary sources are the heart of history.
They are. But sometimes getting students excited about them can be a challenge. You know, they can seem kind of dry and intimidating, especially compared to all the flashy stuff they see online.
Right. Like, who wants to read a dusty old letter when you have TikTok?
Exactly. So how do we bridge that gap? Does Tarr offer any advice on making primary sources more engaging for students?
He does. He has some really creative techniques for that. One that I love is called silent discussion.
Silent discussion. Okay. That sounds like an oxymoron.
Right. It sounds a little strange, but trust me, it's super effective. So you spread out a variety of primary sources related to your topic around the classroom. And students work in pairs, and they silently move from source to source, annotating each one with their observations, questions, and any connections they're making.
So they're having a dialogue with the sources and with each other, but without actually speaking.
Exactly. It encourages close reading, careful analysis, and collaboration.
I love that. It forces them to really slow down and engage with the sources on a deeper level.
Yes. And then after they've had time to interact with the sources silently, you bring the whole class together for a more traditional discussion, and you can draw on their annotations and observations.
So it's like those silent annotations become conversation starters for a more dynamic and insightful whole class discussion.
Exactly. It's a great way to scaffold that deeper understanding.
I love that. And it's a good way to kind of get those quieter students involved too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because everyone has to write something down.
It's not just the same few hands going up. Okay, silent discussion. Definitely adding that to my list.
Yeah.
What else does Tarr suggest for working with primary sources?
Another activity that's great for helping students think critically about sources is called destroy or deploy.
Destroy or deploy. Okay, that sounds intense.
It is. So you give students a range of primary sources related to, say, a debate topic.
Okay.
And they have to decide which sources they would deploy to support their case.
I see.
And which ones they would destroy, meaning they could be used against them.
Ooh, I like that. It's like their lawyers preparing for a trial, weighing the evidence, and strategizing.
Exactly. It's so fun to watch them get into it.
Yeah.
And it really helps them think about source bias and perspective, you know?
Absolutely. It's not just about finding sources that support your view. It's about understanding the limitations and potential biases of all sources.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. Okay, destroy or deploy. Checking that one off. Now, one thing that we've touched on throughout this deep dive is the importance of collaboration in the history classroom.
Yeah, collaboration is key.
It really is. Yeah. So does TAR offer any specific strategies for fostering more collaboration among students?
He does. He's a big proponent of collaborative learning. One of his favorite techniques is jigsaw groups.
Ah, jigsaw groups. I love those. It's a classic for a reason.
It is. It's just so effective for getting everyone involved. So you divide the class into groups, and each group becomes an expert on a specific aspect of the topic.
Okay.
And then you mix up the groups, so each new group has a representative from each of the original expert groups.
Right, so they have to share their expertise with each other to get the full picture.
Exactly.
Like they're each holding a piece of the puzzle, and they have to come together to assemble it.
I love that analogy. It really captures the essence of jigsaw groups.
Okay, so we've explored a lot of amazing strategies and activities from a history teaching toolbox. What are your final thoughts on the book?
You know, what I appreciate most about Russell Tarr's book is that it goes beyond just providing a collection of activities. He's really offering a philosophy of teaching, a way to approach history education that's engaging, creative, and student-centered.
I agree. It's about inspiring a love of history in our students, not just drilling them with facts and dates.
Exactly. It's about making history come alive, making it relevant, and making it something that they can connect with on a personal level.
And I think a history teaching toolbox gives teachers the tools to do just that. It's a fantastic resource, and I highly recommend it to anyone who wants to breathe new life into their history lessons.
Couldn't agree more.
So that wraps up our deep dive into a history teaching toolbox. We hope you found it helpful and inspiring, and we encourage you to check out the book for yourself and see which activities resonate with you and your students. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep the passion for history burning bright.